We're going to be springing from Proverbs, the fourth chapter. We'll be looking at a couple of verses there. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Hope that everything is well with you and yours this evening. And if not, we hope that it can be in Him. We're going to be reading the last two verses of the fourth chapter of Proverbs. And we're going to be looking at a little something here. The 26th verse of the fourth chapter of Proverbs says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening, Father, thankful, Lord, for your word, Father. We're thankful, Lord, that it causes us, Lord, to examine ourselves, Father. And Lord, we pray this evening as we've looked at a few things, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to convey what you've given to us, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for each one that's in the house, Lord. Know that you're able to meet each and every need that's in the house this evening. Father, we pray, Lord, as we look at the things that you've showed us, Lord, that you would help each of us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that as you speak to our hearts, Father, it's up to us, Lord, to obey what you tell us, Lord, so that we can grow in you, so that we can minister to those around about us, Father. Lord, we thank you for our pastor. Ask, Lord, that you'd be with him as he's away. Be with Jace this evening. Thankful, Lord, for the good news. Lord, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'd be with us for a few moments. In Jesus' name and amen. Ponder, according to Webster, is to weigh mentally and to think deeply, consider carefully, and to meditate. And so these verses in Proverbs there's several verses here in Proverbs. They give us a warning as children of the Lord to attend to a few things. And so this evening, as I begin to look in God's Word about where we should be this evening, this thought really stuck with me to ponder our path. And there's a Hebrew word, according to Wiersbe, that's translated. It's related to a word that means scales, or to weigh in the balance, to ponder and to weigh in the balance where we are as far as our feet goes. If we looked just probably on the next, probably on the same page at the 21st verse of the fifth chapter of Proverbs, just right there, right below on the 21st verse of the fifth chapter, it says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all of his doings." So if the Lord is pondering our doings, we ought to ponder our doings and make sure that where we're at is where that we ought to be, and the path that we're heading on is the right path. Now, several years ago, Kyle planned a backpacking trip, which Zach has taken on, and Zach is planning a men's backpacking trip in June. So any of you men feel up to it, it's a fun time. It is. But anyway, I'd never been on the Appalachian Trail before, and so I just left it all up to Kyle. I knew there was a few things that I needed to take, and the least amount of things I could take would be good. But anyways, we got on the Appalachian Trail. You know, there's a sign on the road that said Appalachian Trail is going this way. So we started out and got on it. But anyway, after we got into the woods, there's markers on the trees that let you know that you're still on the right path, going in the right direction. And so on the Appalachian Trail, they just simply take white paint and just paint a mark on the tree and you go on past it. Well, two marks on the next tree means that you're getting ready to turn. And so you turn whenever you see those two markers. Well, God's Word gives us markers that we know that we ought to follow. And so we're going to look at a few of those markers this evening, and we're going to ponder the path. Now, I don't know where each one of you are this evening as far as your walk with the Lord is, but you know. We're getting ready to enter into the graduation season, and May and June, we have people who graduate from high school, and you know, our question to them might be, oh, what are you going to do after high school? I see the old counselor back there shaking her head, yes. Cindy Sturm was a counselor for years and years, and the world is before them as a new graduate from high school. It's wide open to them. If we talk to maybe somebody who is graduating from college and has already set their foot in a path, we might ask them, what are you going to do with that degree now that you've gotten it? Courtney, our daughter, is a nurse, and there's many fields that she could have went into, but she chose to be in the baby unit, and the Lord placed her right there, and I'm thankful that He did. But we as adults, we don't give a thought maybe to the path that we're on. We've chosen the path to be a Christian. We've chosen the path to follow the Lord. But from this point where we're at, where are we going? Or where are you going this evening? And so as we think about those things, I want you to ponder the path of your feet this evening. And these verses are going to be verses that we're going to be covering in church camp in just a few months. We're going to be talking to the kids about their path. And so this evening, as we think about we as adults, do we need to ponder our path? Absolutely, every day we need to ponder our path. I've heard people say that every decision that we have to make is a spiritual decision for us, because it will either lead us to the Lord or it'll lead us away from the Lord. But anyway, with all that being said, where are we going to next? Well, let's see. Ponder your path. And what does our feet do on a path that we walk? So let's read those couple of verses again. And it says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. So how are we going to establish our ways? So let's go to 1 John, and we'll pick up a couple of verses in 1 John. 1 John, the second chapter. We're going to be looking at a few verses with paying closer attention to the sixth verse, but we need to read all six of them first. So we're going to read the first three, and then we'll get to the last three. 1 John chapter 2 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So first of all, in order to make our way be established in the Lord, we've got to make sure that we're on the right path and that we are following His commandments. And how do we do that? Of course, we all know. We're going to read His Word. We're going to come to know Him through His Word. But we'll read on here just for a few more verses here. And it says, the fourth verse, and he saith, I know him, and he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So if we're going to make sure that our feet are on the right path and we're walking in the right way, we've got to establish ourselves in Him. And the way that we establish ourselves in Him is that we make sure that we've read the map. Now, before we went on the backpacking trail with Kyle, I didn't read the map. I just left that up to him, because I knew he knew where he was going, and I left all that up to him. He knew where the water sources was, and he took us on the right road. But for we as Christians, it's up to us to get in God's Word and to read it. I thought when we went on that backpacking trip, there was Jeff Bishop and Zach was probably only about 13 then, and there was Kyle and myself and Darren Crow, and we went and we had a great time, and we followed the trail, and none of us got lost, but there are people who have hiked on the Appalachian Trail that have gotten off the trail and have gotten turned around and didn't get back on the trail and perished in spite of all their efforts. We as Christians, we know that there are times when we see people who wander off the trail and can't seem to get back on. And for us who see that, many times the reason that the Lord has allowed us to see that is so that we might be able to go and help them to get back on the path, help them to see their way back. Sometimes people will listen and sometimes they won't. But anyway, Wiersbe says, to walk in the light means to be open and honest and to be sincere. Wiersbe gives an illustration here talking about being sincere. And he talks about that, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Philippians, the first chapter and the 10th verse, just a couple pages back over. Philippians, the first chapter and the 10th verse, tells us, Paul says here, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Here, Paul wanted to make sure that those that he was speaking to knew that they needed to be sincere and without offense. Wiersbe's illustration here about sincere takes on the meaning of two Latin words, and I'm going to spell them for you because they are simply read, I'm sure, but I would probably mess it up. But it's S-I-N-E, sin, and cera, C-E-R-A, which means without wax. And you're saying, well, what does that mean? When Paul's days, they had sculptors that would sculptures, and they would make them out of marble, and they, as the sculptor then would put these items up for sale, then if some sculptors made a mistake in that marble sculptor, they might fill that sculpture in with wax to where it just looked perfect, but it fooled the eye. That wasn't noticed then until that sculpture got in the sun, and when the sun hit it, then that wax would melt. And so what they thought they were getting, they weren't really getting. And so here, as Paul is telling us to be sincere, he wants us to be open and honest with not only ourselves, but with the Lord. The Lord knows anyway our heart. He knows how that we're walking. He knows the things that we maybe might try to hide from him, but the Lord knows how that we walk daily. So the word here that Paul wanted us to grasp was to be sincere and without offense. So Paul said to be a true Christian, to be open and honest with ourselves and with others, it means that when the light reveals the sin, that we are to immediately confess it and to claim the Lord's forgiveness in it. So we're going to turn now to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and we're going to look at a few things in Ephesians. In all of Paul's writings that he wrote, Paul wrote about doctrine, and then he wrote about walk. And in Ephesians, the first 3 chapters, Paul pays close attention to doctrine. And in the last 3 chapters of Ephesians, he talks about our walk. And so if we're pondering the path of our feet, there are several things here that Paul points out to us that we ought to pay close attention to make sure that we're walking in the right way. And so as we begin reading in Ephesians in the 4th chapter, and let me get there because I haven't got that one marked for some reason, but anyway, there it is. We're going to read the first three verses of the 4th chapter, and then we'll read 4, 5, and 6. And it says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, therefore, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, that I's twice as big as all the rest of the letters, and I missed right over it. But I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Here, Paul knew that he was the prisoner of the Lord because he knew that he owed the Lord everything. I stand right here to tell you I'm the same way. I know that the Lord saved me from a world of sin. I know that he placed my feet on a solid rock. I know that his word guides me daily. I know that the blessings that I have comes from the Lord. Paul here knew that he was a prisoner of the Lord because all that the Lord had done for Paul, Paul said, I'll live my life for him. And that's the way that we all should also live our life for the Lord. I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein that you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The first thing here that Paul wants us to take note of here, or that Wiersbe pulls out of what Paul is pointing out to us, is that we need to walk in unity. And how many of us know how important that to be unified is what we all want to be? If we're not unified, then we're pulling against one another, and united we stand, divided we fall. But there's a unity in the household of faith that we need to strive to keep. Pondering the path of our feet, are we doing all that we can to maintain the unity with the Lord and the unity with one another? I think that each of us, you know, I don't know of any schisms or schisms, but when those schisms or schisms arise, we need to make sure that we put them in the right place and, as Barney Fife would say, nip it. Nip it. But anyway, we'll read on here. The 4th, 5th, and 6th verse says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so the unity of the faith is that we realize that the Lord is on the throne, and each of us have within us the ability to put him first, proclaim him to all, and realize that he is all in all that each of us need. So if we looked at the first and second verse, who's our greatest example of loneliness and meekness? Of course, Jesus Christ. Everything that he did, everything that he tried to teach, he did with all lowliness and humility. And for each of us, that's what all of us need to strive to do in order to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Is it requires the humility of Christ living out through each and every one of us. So forbearing is to endure or to tolerate, keep oneself in check, tolerate in love. And you know that there's a lot of times that we can open our mouth, and Greg gave us a good lesson on our tongue last week, but there's a lot of times whenever we need to make sure that we keep that mouth shut. But there's also, as Ecclesiastes tells us, there's a time also that we ought to speak. But if we keep ourselves in, if we keep ourselves in Christ and we pay close attention to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will help us to know when to speak and what to speak and how to speak it. But anyway, pondering not only the path of our feet, but pondering also the wagging of our tongue. We'll move on. All right. The next thing that Paul points out to us is found in the 20th verse of the 4th chapter. But I'm going to back up and read the 17th verse, and I'm going to read quite a few verses of Scripture here. But I think you'll understand why once I begin to read it. But starting in the 17th verse of the 4th chapter, and what we're looking for is we're looking to walk in purity as the Lord would have us to walk in purity. We're going to begin reading at the 17th verse, and the really what I want to pay close attention to is in the 20th and 24th verse. But anyway, no, we're in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, 17th verse. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. But, or if so be that ye have heard him, and that ye have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth of his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Wanted to back up and read the 17th verse, because the 17th verse brings out the attitude and the actions of the Gentiles who were led astray. But Paul says here that we've got to put off the old man and put on the new. And I know that whenever I begin to follow the Lord and I dedicated my life to him, there was things that I, and still don't do, but I mean, there's things that I had to put away. There was the relationship with some of the friends that I had. I had to put away that relationship, not that I wasn't still friends with them, but I didn't do the things that I once did. But anyway, with that being said here, Paul says that we need to put off the old man and put on the new. And so when we think maybe that might be hard to do sometimes, is it or is it? No, because we know that the consequences that we pay whenever the Lord begins to chastise us. Anyway, we'll move on. But anyway, we need to walk in purity and put off the old man and put on the new. So we're walking in unity. We're walking in purity. We're pondering the path of our feet. The next thing we're going to look at is in the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And we're going to be looking at the 18th verse through the 21st verse. And we're going to be looking at walking in harmony. Now, some people might say, "I don't sing. I don't know anything about harmony." Well, I think you do. I think you'll know a little bit about harmony once we get finished reading. Beginning at the 18th verse, we'll read the 18th verse for the 21st verse. And it says, "Be not drunk with wine." So if you're sipping saint, you ain't a saint. Thomas said that many times. "Be not drunk with wine," and I believe that's literal, but that it also takes the connotation to keep our minds sober-minded so that we realize what we're getting ready to say, realize what our actions are going to be. "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord." Keep on our mind him. Keep him on our mind. You know, I find that many times whenever I'm having a bad day, it's because my mind has been filled with things that Satan has allowed to enter into my mind about situation at work that don't amount to a hill of beans, but I've gotten upset over it and I've let that thing boil in my head. Joe Harding used to work with me at the post office. That's easy to do sometimes, isn't it, Joe? Yeah. But if we'll stop and say, "Lord, help me get myself in check right here and help me to realize that this is just something we're going to have to deal with, but I'm not going to let Satan eat my lunch over it." But whenever we think about the Lord and we think about walking in harmony, that we try our best not to let those things get us, so to speak. But we'll move on and we'll keep reading. Just so pondering the path of our feet. Again, on the Appalachian Trail, there are markers that help us stay on track. I know that if I begin to have a bad day and I begin to think upon those things that I don't think on, does anybody else have that trouble? Sure, we all do. I hope you do. I hope I'm not the only one. If I'm the only one, y'all take me to the altar right now and either crucify me or pray with me. But we all have times whenever things get our lunch. But if we'll turn it around quickly and say, Lord, help me put this where I need to, and we're pondering whether those are the thoughts that we ought to be having. The rest of that, and I can't remember exactly where I left off here, giving thanks always, the 20th verse, for all things unto God and for the Father, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And we'll stop right there, but walking in harmony means to keep ourselves in check and think on the things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report. Where is that? Philippians, fourth chapter, 8th and 9th verse, I believe. But those are verses that the Lord has put in there for us to help us to turn things around and help us to walk in harmony when things go wrong. Chapter 2, verse 8. Okay. Two. She said 2, verse 8. I should have had that written down, but I didn't. Yep. So finally, brother, whatsoever things are... Go ahead, read it, Barbara. It'd do us all good to look at it a little bit closer. Let's look on. And so the next thing and the last point that I have here is that we need to walk in victory. How many times do we walk with our head down and we may walk defeated or whatever, but these verses are the 6th chapter of Ephesians, beginning at the 10th verse. We need to put on the armor of the Lord and walk in victory. So many times... in my life, and you all say, man, you must live down and depressed. I try not to, but there are times whenever I have to ponder my path and say, Lord, you know, why is my thoughts here today, and what's going on with me here today? If we're pondering the path of our feet, and we know that we have the victory in the Lord. 10th verse of the 6th chapter begins, and it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hey, we've won the battle. We've won the battle. We've won the victory. The Lord is on our side. No matter whatever's thrown at us, the Lord is on our side. I think so many times about since Amanda McDowell has been going through the things that she's been going through, I've thought so many times about the amount of people whose eyes are upon her and who are getting the testimony that she is putting forth, that she's trusting in the Lord and the victories that they're winning. My prayer has been is that that Jace's recovery would astound the doctors. And it is starting to. I'm sure it already has. The fact that they even found it, that he was taken to the hospital whenever he was, and all the strides that he's made. His testimony will touch people far, farther away than what any of us will ever know. But anyway, let's keep reading. And the 11th verse, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Get prepared for the battle, because the battle is we're in a battle. It may not be on your doorstep today, but it may be tomorrow. And when it is, these verses of Scripture that we've read and covered this evening will help you to stay on the path. Those markers that they have out there on the Appalachian Trail are few and far between, random or whatever. God's word, there's markers all the way through it that'll help us to stay on the right path. And the 12th verse says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." To stand. Whenever you don't know what else to do, you stand in the Lord. Judy, you and Don, get ready. I'm going to read just a couple more things here. And it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And I could read on and on. But there are a few things that we ought to pay close attention to whenever we're pondering our path. Are we walking in the unity with the Lord? Are we walking in purity in our hearts and in our minds? Are we walking in harmony with the Lord? And are we all walking with victory that we have through Jesus Christ? This evening, if you have a need of prayer, maybe Satan has been eating your lunch for days, and maybe you need to come and talk to the Lord about it. Or maybe your battle has been something that you've been carrying for a while, and you say, "Lord, I need a special touch this evening." Maybe you would want to come. Or maybe you know somebody else that's in a battle and you want to come and pray for them. No matter what the situation is this evening, we have victory in the Lord. And as we ponder the path of our feet, we know the things that we know about ourselves and about others for a reason, and that reason is that we take it to the Lord and we ask Him for